Dumpster Divas, welcome to another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet, and my sister,
Kix Hamlet. We are here to dive into the reality TV that made us, well, the garbage we are.
I know, that's right. And expect like a mix of throwback recaps as well as chats about what we are still watching today.
Tom, are you ready to get into it?
Let's go. Hi, Dumpster Divas. We are back with another episode of the pod. And today, to dive into all things Bravo reality television that's happening right now on our screens, I'm joined by Lauren from The Zen Blonde. You know her from TikTok and IG. Follow her at The Zen Blonde. And she deep dives into everything pop culture, everything in kind of like our zeitgeist, honestly, and goes deeper than I, Kix and I do here on the podcast. So give her a follow, watch her stuff. And Lauren, we are so happy to have you here on the podcast today.
Oh my gosh, Tom, thanks so much for having me. It's, as I said, was saying before, I am just needing a pop culture conversation
this afternoon. You should see the text threads going right now about, one about the Leah McSweeney versus Bravo and Andy feud. I've just been like on my phone, like texting like dissertations, and I'm like, I need to not do that and talk to Lauren about this.
Between that and like Kate Middleton being missing, like I just like, how am I getting anything done?
So the Kate of it all, I'm still reading more about it. I knew that she'd been missing, but I hadn't like done a full dive into all the logistics. And then the what's his face? What's her husband's name?
William. William. Oh my God. Yes.
William not showing to that event or like was crazy, or was it a funeral? No. What was it?
Well, one of the things William did is he's like the president of BAFTA, which is like the Oscars in England. Yeah, in England. He showed up and there was this girl who was like highly awarded this year for a movie wherein she was raped, and he didn't do his homework and like looking into the movies. So a big group of like female actresses, he's like, it looked like you had fun making the movie. It looked like you had a good time.
No. Like,
but he just like, it's like literally like the ultimate nepo baby. He like didn't look into any of it and just gave like, you know, very uninformed.
But how did his team not like, how did he not have someone with him? He is like the next in line to be the king. How does he not just have someone with him a la like Veep and like Devil Wears Prada telling him exactly who's who, what to say around every corner, right? In my mind, that's how you would need to operate. Like he has to know everything about everyone when he shows up somewhere.
And you know, I'm sure they give him synopses of these things and he just doesn't read them. You know, he probably needs somebody to read it to him or he's just forgetting. But Harry got really good press the week before, I think, for Invictus when he was in Canada. So I think William made a last minute decision because these guys are always trying to kind of play off of each other.
Yeah, which makes me... It makes me sad, like the brothers of it all, like how they've been so at odds because of the state of the royal family. I don't know. I just, it, and the firm scares me. And if the firm ever hears this, don't come for me.
We're on your side. We love Kate and William and Charles and Camilla.
I love them so much.
I it's not what Diana would have wanted. That's for sure. But no. It's definitely thing to watch. And now like I feel like the Kate Middleton conspiracy is reaching a fever pitch, and then we have the Leah McSweeney of it all. Like
wait, but what do you think is happening with Kate? What's your theory?
Well, I think she's just been missing from the public eye for a really long time, and she got a surgery, but this is the woman that like walked out of the hospital after giving birth looking like a supermodel, right, ready to take photos like hours later. So it's just very uncharacteristic of them. Mm-hmm. So maybe the surgery was so bad that she's really, really bedridden. And, you know, I mean, I have no idea. I can't make heads or tails of it, but if you go on Reddit, there's wild conspiracies, which are probably just that, conspiracies. It must have just been a grueling surgery, but it's very odd. She's been missing for a long time.
Yeah. And they made an announcement in, when was it, like December or something, that said that she wouldn't be, the royal family made an announcement saying you won't see her until after Easter.
I didn't catch that bit.
Oh, you didn't? No. They made like an official, because I think they were on top of the fact that she had been MIA, and someone on their team was like, we have to say something.
Right.
Like, this is the woman who will be like queen, once again, the queen mother or queen of England, you know, at some point, like, where is she? And so they said that they made the statement that she had a procedure and that you shouldn't expect to see her until after Easter.
I miss that crucial part, man. It's just so weird. I mean, the thing is, you know, I think with the specifically the royal family, like, the conspiracy theories can just run wild, but it is a really extended period of time, because that was like already like, I think like at least a month ago that this happened. And then to Easter, isn't Easter in like April? That's a really long time.
Yeah, it's at the first weekend of April. Yeah, it's a really long time. And it makes me think about Diana a little bit. Like, part of me thinks, like, procedure. Like, was there a procedure? Is this, like, her hiding from the press because something's going to happen? Or is it, like, an illness and it's, like, fucked up and sad and like, she can't be there? I don't know. But regardless, it's bizarre to be so not candid about the whole thing.
Well, also, I feel like at the very least, I would have thought we would have gotten like a blurry image of her in a car that was blacked out, that like the lens was able to capture like a little bit of her face, like coming, you know, like it was just weird because we didn't see any of that. And I feel like the people around this are so good at capturing if they're out and about and being visible in any way. I'm like, was she just being transported in like a Taylor Swift box? Like,
right, maybe
they get her around without us at all.
I don't know. The royal stuff, I sometimes, like, when I think about it, I'm like, it is the Lord's year of 2024 and there's still kings and queens. I'm just not a royalist. It makes my brain, I'm fascinated by them, but I'm not a royalist at all. But it's just, when you think about technology and you think about the things happening in the world and where we are, it's like, but we still have kings and queens. It's just, it's bizarre.
In England, of all places, like, England's like a modern place, you know? Like, I've been to, like, you know, other parts of the world where it's less, like, I guess, like, what we would consider, like, a Western context. Mm-hmm. And, like, when I was in Nepal, there's like this living deity, and she's only a deity until she's 13 mm-hmm. and gets her period. If she got a paper cut and bled, she's no longer the deity. And she's carried around everywhere. Her feet didn't touch the ground, like total Gypsy Rose energy. Like,
whoa.
And comes out for just like 2 seconds into this window, and you can go and like see her in this window, and then goes away. And like, it makes sense in Nepal. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a little bit like different there. In terms of like what we're used to here in America or in Europe, but Europe is like super, like, I guess, modernized, and mm-hmm. yeah, to have taxpayer money going to a king and a queen and all the
sense
behind that, it's really bizarre. But it also brings in so much money too. Like, those royal weddings, like, people go nuts for them, and it brings in so much money. So it kind of, I guess, from like maybe that standpoint, makes sense, because they're like also bringing in money through it, and everyone wants to go see, you know, Buckingham Palace. And
right, I mean, they are tourism there.
They are,
like they've created a platform to just be attractions, and they make money in the press too. Like, the press makes so much money when they write a story just about them. Like, I mean, they can't go anywhere, but it's like when you talk about the throne, like, who's the heir to the throne? It's like the throne of what? Of like the Daily Mail? Like, that's essentially what they're vying for, is like, they don't have rule, you know?
Yeah. No, 100%. It's crazy. And I cannot believe, like, when you're over there, it's like the publications are just so ruthless. Like, mm-hmm. some of the things that they write, like, I think might be worse than what's written in America. Like,
it's wild. It's so much worse. I mean, they will just come for every physical, like, insecurity you've ever had, like, as the headline. And the Daily Mail,
100%.
And the Daily Mail does not proofread a second. Like, they're using, like, the wrong tense, and they're using, like, your spelled YOAPOSTROPHE RE when it's a your.
And like, you know, it's also like moments of like blatant racism.
Oh, so racist.
Like,
yeah.
Blatant. Like, saying Megan was from Compton and that was a bad thing, and are straight out of Compton. And also, it's crazy too, because I've seen times where they're like, Harry and Megan in their place in Montecito, Los Angeles. And I'm like, babe, Montecito is in Ventura County. It's in it's like next to Santa Barbara. Okay. I have to drive like an hour and a half to get up there. Right. And actually, Oh my God, it's so fun driving through like the Oprah, Harry, and Meghan neighborhood.
Oh my
Like if you ever
God.
come to LA, I'll take you. I go, me and my sister, we get Starbucks and we just drive and look out in all the houses. Oprah's house, like you can just tell like the gatehouse is like the size of a house. You
Oh
know what I
my
mean? And
God,
she has
that's
like
a
three
dream.
driveways and they're so long. Like you can't even see the house, but you can just see. It reminds me of like Bridesmaids when she like is pulling up to that
Yes.
original house, gets the lemonade. That's what Oprah's reminds me of. And then Harry's and Meghan's neighborhood is like you can drive through it, but the hedges are so high that you wouldn't be able to see a thing. It's like going through like a maze because the hedges are so high in that neighborhood. And it's like you just have capital M money and you just nothing's gonna be seen. This is like a fortress.
See,
So it's wild.
that's something I am jealous of in Los Angeles, 'cause in New York we like famous people just live like in apartment buildings. Like and you and but in the same breath in that way like we just see famous people like but you do too. But like I just mean like they you can just see them in their most like humble like at the grocery store, you know?
They sort of want to be
But
seen here, you know? Whereas in New York, people are more incognito. Like I'd be like, oh, and I'd be like, that's like, oh, that's so and so. Like even like Bobby Flay riding by on his bike, and it's like, what? Like this is weird. Like seeing you out of context and in like sweats, you know?
Right. Who have I seen? I don't have any, like, I'm trying to think if I have any good celeb sightings. I don't even have any good, like, housewife sightings. Like, I've met housewives in the city before, like, at things, but I've never seen them in the wild because they're so secluded to their own, like, well, the New York housewives are pretty much secluded to, like, 61st Street to, like, 86th Street between 2nd Avenue and Madison Avenue.
They're uptown girls, you know. I
Yeah.
was never above 14th Street like half the time, except for when I
Right.
lived 18th, but only four
Oh God,
blocks
that's so scandalous. I'm so
I
sorry.
know. It was like upstate New York.
Wait, so you know who's a crazy sighting that I can promise you, if you can pretty much always catch them. And I think if you lived below 14th, you probably know this. Two people, one Alec Baldwin and Ilaria. However you want to say her name. They live on University Place, like right around NYU. I'm not doxing them. I mean, they're seen around there all the time, but like they're right in that area. So I've seen them so many times walking around Washington Square Park. And then also another really good celeb sighting in Washington Square Park is Justin Theroux, which that one is good to me because he is hot in person. And he's just like walking alone,
Justin Theroux, I would
listening to music.
die.
Oh my God, he's
I
beyond.
would die. I've seen Alec before. I've never seen
Yeah.
Ilaria because I would have been like, cucumber.
Cucumber.
How you say cucumber? But literally, they turned Kendall Jenner with her with the cutting and her with the not knowing
I
how to say.
can't.
They've gotten together and done like a cucumber crossover,
I
like for
know. If only they
brand.
had us
Like
to help
literally, like.
them.
The creative geniuses that are us, Tom, like literally, but okay, so Alec Baldwin, I got a story for you.
Oh, great.
He like went during his suburbs era when he lived in Rockland where I was raised. Like he was around and he hadn't acted in anything like prominent for a while. It was like I think before 30 Rock. And so when I was like 16, I was one of those really annoying people at the mall that would be like asking you if you wanted to model or act at the little like kiosks.
Oh my
And
gosh,
it was
shut up.
job. It was like be paid better than babysitting. I made commission, like, and I'm outgoing, so it was fine. Like, but like literally like the most cringe, awful job. So when it would get slow, we would have to go up to like parents without kids and be like, hey, do you have any kids that are interested in modeling, acting, or singing? So it's really slow. There was a New York sports club in my mall. There's this group of dads, and I'm like, hey, do you any of you guys have any kids that'd be interested in modeling, acting, or singing? And the group of dads with their gym bags erupts in laughter, and they're like, hey kid, that's Alec Baldwin. And so I had
Shut
asked
up.
Alec Baldwin if he had any children interested in acting. But Haley actually grew up near me, and she was at my sister's like high school graduation. And it was always like, oh, she's a Baldwin, but like, you know. Then she lived her super fan dreams and got Justin, you
There you
know.
go. That's funny. Because also as a kid, like you probably, well, I've been not a kid, but I don't know how old did you say you were?
I'm 32.
No, then when.
Oh, I'm 32.
I've
I was 16.
Yeah, but like at 16, like you don't really Alec Baldwin is not in the zeitgeist really. I mean, I knew him from 30 Rock was my first touchstone for him probably, which was starting around that time because we're around the same age. Yeah,
But I
so
don't think
I don't
30
blame
Rock was
you.
really like bumping at that point. I think maybe it started. But I actually think that my asking him that inspired him. to get back into the game.
You not, it wasn't Tina Fey.
No, I think it was me, actually. I think I shamed him in front of his friends, and he's like, I gotta get back in the saddle.
Start up again. To pivot a little bit, to pivot into reality TV a little bit, when we have new guests in the pod, we like to kind of like touch base with them on how reality television came into like the zeitgeist. And so, Lauren, what reality show and then maybe what reality star made you a quote unquote dumpster diva, as we call ourselves here? What was kind of like a big moment for you in adolescence or whenever it came to you where you were like, wait, this is amazing?
Oh my God. It is totally a toss up between The Simple Life and The Real Housewives of New York. Like, great those choices, two things both made me reality obsessed, because mm-hmm. like Paris Hilton like invented this genre, and like the selfie and like Instagram and basically everything, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I love her and I love The Simple Life. I used to watch it religiously. And then, and I think that really like kind of plays into like the Bravo TV of it all. Like, I feel like a lot of those shows kind of like picked up from that. But The Real Housewives of New York just got me totally addicted to Bravo and like everything that Bravo does. Like, especially like season 2 Roni, like that's like my comfort show. If like my world is falling apart, I can go watch old Roni episodes and like everything will be okay, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. I haven't done an old school Roni rewatch recently, because for me, honestly, I mean, it used to be my like North Star, truly. And those women just have like taken such a fall in so many ways. And so sometimes it's hard to go back because it makes me a little sad. Where other franchises, it's like kind of fun to go back because it's like, who cares about them? They're just like fun shenanigans. But those ladies really had magic that was unmatched, especially those early seasons. I say season 3 is formative television for me, definitely. Like, I remember watching, I think that was, like, I had watched season 1 and 2 when they were on. I watched OC. I watched everything. But season 3 of Roni, with the Bethany and Jill breakup, with Scary Island, with the fashion show, with I'm in Brooklyn and the economy, trying to work for my family, I'm here to deliver a message. Like, it's just like all, I remember just, I was watching live every week because I was like, this is amazing television.
No, and nobody can dispute that. Mm-hmm. And I know what you're saying, though, what you were saying before about how it's a little sad. It's like interesting because when you watch like old Luann, she was like teaching her daughter's friends etiquette and like, you know, like announcing with her husband, like different like things at charity events and like just in this really right. like sort of like philanthropic, like almost like trying to be like pseudo royal light. And mm-hmm. now she's playing the bongos at her show and just being unhinged. But I like to think that made her more free.
I agree. Luann, I think, has an amazing arc. Like, I think
Sonia Rita, I worry about sometimes.
I agree.
About.
Sonia, I worry about. Ramona is just frustrating.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. Ugh,
the worst.
And honestly, Kelly, I'm like seeing her back on Legacy. I don't know if you watched that or not, but
yeah, I did.
She's just an idiot. I mean,
she's
like,
so dumb. Cause I couldn't tell.
Doesn't
I was
get
like,
it.
It's really dumb. Like,
yeah,
I think she's actually just really fucking stupid.
But she doesn't get it. Like, she doesn't get like the show. She doesn't get like the mechanics, like a Dorinda. Like, Dorinda is unhinged and crazy, but she gets like how to push the show forward. Kelly is just gonna sit on one of the beach chairs and just whine about the same thing every episode. And I'm like, this is not, you're, the idea of bringing you back, I think, was a little bit better than practicality here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, her running between the cabs, I'm like, does anyone actually do that? Because that to me was always wild. I was like, no, that, like, nobody does that. That's dangerous.
No. I'm a runner, and like, I will run in the street every once in a while if I'm trying to like get around people and stuff, but you run and you really should never, you should never run with your back to traffic. You should always run at traffic. Like, it's crazy to me that she's running not only in the street, but with cars behind her.
She was like running through, like she was like a thoroughbred horse, like in the middle of these cabs, just like.
But that's her. She lives in her own sphere. Like, she's in this like little universe in her head. Like, I'm Kelly Vincent and I run in the street. Like, that's me.
I just run through the street. I need to know how upset you are that we're not getting Alex McCord back on our televisions, because I'm so unwell over that. I'm so unwell.
I'm so unwell about it. And I want them to just do another girls trip with like some of those ladies, because even Gretchen too, like, I don't even like Gretchen, but like I would love to touch in and see where she's at. Like, and Alex like had such, I'm not sure if she would be good on the show. I wonder if she was good on the show. Honestly, yeah. I don't know. But like in my brain, like she would be fantastic, because I feel like she's probably still living in those old seasons. Like those women live out loud in their own world. They're not living out loud for the cameras. Like I feel like she wouldn't go on the show and try and turn it up for the cameras. I think she'd just be her, and herself is so kooky. Like I want a camera yes. back on her, seeing what she's up to.
And I also feel like she's the one that I feel like I can infer the least from online, because totally. She'll post static images, but it's not like we get all these videos of Alex. And you know, I just like, I feel like I want like a proper update. I want to see where she is. And she's also a therapist now, so I mm-hmm. feel like she's gone to school for this, and like maybe like that would make her like a really good voice of reason, and kind of like the Kristen Takeman character, where yes. it's like the surprising like favorite, because they're like so good at like getting along with everyone. And I think she would do well. Like I was actually thinking it would be a good season with her. I was really excited.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Kristen Takeman's a good example. I think she would be similar to that. And Kristen, for me, that was such a surprise that she was so like touched so down awesome. With reality. I agree. She's one of the few, I've met Luann and I've met Kristen actually. She, back when I met her, like back when she was on the show in my like early days of living in New York, I actually babysat her kids at work one time.
No way.
Yeah. So her husband, Josh is, or was, well, do you remember the, like he sold eBoost? It was called eBoost. It was like these little yeah. like energy packets. The company I was working for, the CEO of that company was an investor in eBoost, and he was an investor in the company that I was working for. So Josh was like around a lot. And so it was a spin studio. So Kristen came one time and brought the kids to like a spin class, and she was going to take the class and we like watch the kids in the lobby.
Can you yeah. believe, were you dying? Were you just
oh,
like,
I was freaking out. I was the only one there that dying. Knew. I was the only one there that like knew who she was.
I hate when that happens and people don't like match your excitement about mm-hmm. reality things. It's like, you guys don't even know the gold mine around you. Like,
I know. Meanwhile, I'm like, yeah, geeking out. well, speaking of Roni, today or last night, a news, big news hit the headlines. And that is that Leah McSweeney is suing Bravo and Andy Cohen for coercing her into drinking when she didn't want to be, and then also for like creating a not safe and healthy work environment by, you know, giving people who are willing to party with Andy, specifically do cocaine with him, better money on the shows, more opportunities, things like that. So Lauren, I feel like this you're a good person to have on this. You like dive into you know, just pop culture news in general. Like, what are your first thoughts when you saw this hit the headlines this morning?
I just feel like the same names keep cycling through with like these reality reckoning attacks on the network and or Andy. And it's interesting because I definitely think that reality shows and like the way that they're produced and like the circumstances you're in can be inherently toxic, especially if you have like a predisposition to addiction or something like that. Like there's a million stories out there, regardless of the show, of like people in The Bachelor staying up till 3 a.m, having so much alcohol. Like it's in so many different shows, but it's gotten to the point where it feels almost oversaturated, where sometimes like these claims are hard to take seriously. It's like, what does other people doing cocaine with Andy have to do with any of this? You know? What are you thinking? Like, are you standing?
You know, I agree with everything you said. I just, you know, something I've been thinking about today is the difference between what happened with Me Too, and I'm not comparing Me Too to this because that involves something completely different, but more what I mean is like a reckoning of sorts, like in media. Like, what's different about actors and actresses, people in that space coming forward and saying, you know, like a director made me like come over and like party with him, and then we ran lines, like, and then I auditioned, and that's how I got the job because I was like willing to hang out. Like, to me, that is disgusting because like actors and actresses, and I love reality television, but actors and actresses like spend, that is their career, like from not just like something that they like woke up and was like, oh, I think I could be a good reality star. Like, these people for the most part like spend money, time, and energy like honing a craft to then have that craft be kind of like shit on by the industry because they have to be political in the way that they party, even, you know? And that's fucked up. And I think people in that industry should be speaking up about ways in which like they've been coerced into things that were not safe and felt kind of gross, you know?
Yeah.
But with reality stars, it's very different because you're just a, for the most part, you're just like a normal person who came across a contract for a show and you signed on the dotted line. And in those contracts, I certainly don't have eyes on them, but I can only imagine how like binding they are into just like what you sign your life away to, you know? And so, and also Housewives has been on for 20 years and the show is exploitative. We like it because it is crazy, right? We like it because it is like abnormal and highlights insane storylines. Also highlights powerful women in a way that like script to television isn't, but at the same time, like, the shows are exploitative, so when you go on them you have to kind of have an understanding of what you're doing. And reality stars also always say, if you have a secret, like, don't bring it on reality TV thinking that it won't come out. And Leah's secret was that she was dealing with, even though she was honest about it kind of, but it was bigger than she was talking, like, hyping it up to be. She had substance issues.
Yeah.
And so and she's put herself in an environment that's not healthy for that. So go ahead.
Well, it seems like she like made the decision herself to like start drinking before the show started.
Like, I don't think anyone was like, we'll give you $20,000 more an episode if you're willing to have rosé. Like, that's just not something that they did.
Well, and because I've seen Andy support people's sobriety too.
Yeah, agreed.
Very much so. Like, with the Shotsky having, like, we're doing like green juice, or like even with the reunion stuff, like he had a talking to with Shep. When after Bravo,
that was tough. Yeah.
You know? And you could tell that Andy was like, dude, like, and Shep's just like, I switched to beer, you know?
That was dark. That made me so sad. When he was like, that was a cry for help, that whole situation with Shep. But I know. And then also the cocaine of it all. Who cares? That's kind of my thought on it.
I'm like,
I know a lot of people that do cocaine. I've done cocaine.
Literally, like,
Living in New York. Right. I know. Going out in New York. I don't do it anymore, but like in my 20s, like when I was a monster going out like until late at night, like, of course I've partaked. Like,
literally, like, who that lived in New York in their 20s has not done cocaine? Okay.
Okay. Like, that's what I'm saying. I mean? And also the business of television and these parties, people are on all sort of shit, okay? And I don't find it shocking. We've heard forever. I mean, that was like 10 years ago, the Kathy Griffin thing came out. Do you remember that? About how Andy offered her cocaine on Watch What Happens Live. Do you remember that?
I do not remember that.
Okay, so
did I miss that?
So Kathy Griffin said, I think I literally think it was like 10 years ago or 8 years ago, that a big part of her kind of friendship breakup with Andy, and then also led to her breakup of friendship with Anderson, was like, had to do with her and Andy's like rapport with each other, and that he put her in situations where she felt uncomfortable. And one of which being a night on Watch What Happens Live, where, like, before the show, they were, like, doing cocaine in the dressing room. and he was like pushing it on her, and she was declining because she's like a she's a life sober person. Like she never even, I don't even know if sobriety is the right word. Like she's never done drugs or drank like ever. And yeah. So she felt extremely confused and pressured. And so years later, she said something about it. And also this is, if Andy, if somehow you ever find this, I don't know how you would, but this podcast, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that like mm-hmm. he partakes in that. He's like a white elder gay man who grew up going to Limelight, like in Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Like for those that don't know, like he's a part of an ilk of gays that like are party gays. Okay. Like it's not that surprising to me that he does this. And I don't think it's that big of a deal.
As long as it's not hurting anyone, but potentially him. And like, you know, and it just is what it is. Andy goes to his job every day. Andy takes great care of his kids. Andy has his life together. Like it's fine. Like it's clearly not a problem for him, but I almost feel like, you know, Aaliyah McSweeney like was the worst person to like for her own personal life and like health and happiness. Like the housewives were horrible for her. I get the sense that like some of these industry veterans, like a Vicky or a Dorinda or a Sonia or a Luann, like whether or not the show was there, that we would be seeing them, you know, rolling out of Bemelin's bar at the Carlisle, like yes. 3 sheets to the wind, whether or not there were cameras present. And I think that it's just their lifestyle. And they are those New Yorkers that are just those women about town that can just do it for their entire lives and mm-hmm. will be, you know, passing away in a, you know, at the Mark Hotel with the martini in their hand, you know,
completely.
The
9 years old,
still doing it. So
yeah, Luann is drinking again. And I promise you at 5 today, she's at the Regency having a martini. It just is what it is. That's how those women live. And those women were the blueprint for the show. So the show innately became that.
Yeah.
So, and you walked on to season 11 of a show. 11. One, not 10, 11. So there's been 10 seasons of a show. You could have known what you were putting yourself into. Like you had 10 years of data to figure out if this was something that was worth it for you. And I understand the exposure. It's a great thing if you have a business you're trying to get back on its feet or just start a business. I get all of that, but like you can't really be so mad that the show didn't highlight your life in the way that you wanted it to, you know? And then the ultimate girl strip of it all confuses me. And I think mm-hmm. it hurts her case because mm-hmm. she went through all this stuff on the show. She's talking about a lot of stuff on Roni for the most part, right? And then she agreed to go on Girls Trip.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why did you agree?
100%. And then it's like you have the OnlyFans of it all with those like really just
bizarre,
terrible photos. And clearly like she's hustling out there, and I'm no shade to her hustle, but it's like all some like there's certain elements of it that feel like a money grab, and I think that it's probably pretty gray. It's not black and white. It's not just a money grab. Mm-hmm. It's not just that like she's completely incorrect. It's probably somewhere in the middle where it's like, and I think she had a lot of agency in the situation.
Yeah, that's so a good point.
It's also like, okay, like you tried this, you realized this was a toxic environment for you. And then you got out of it, and then you kind of went back into it and realized it was toxic for you.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that do this that they can either handle the toxicity in their lives and they know how to balance themselves around it, or they've just decided that whatever they get out of this is worth it to them to deal with that toxic lifestyle.
Right. Like it's kind of on that in itself is like what you sign up for.
100%. And then it's like, well, now you're an influencer and you can get brand deals and you can mm-hmm. do all these things and you get to like have a million people scream your name at BravoCon and like you get to get recognized and like have all these different opportunities. So I think it's really just like she's clearly decided that like the benefit does not outweigh like the detriment for her.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is just how it is inherently. And it's interesting, like, I feel like Andy Cohen kind of has this little sphere around him where like he gets away with a lot that like I'm sure most NBC Universal employees don't get away with, and like he gets to have more fun, and like I love that for him. I love that he's cheeky and he's doing all these things, and I want him to like party with the housewives and have fun. But I'm just curious to know if at a certain point Big Brother is going to swoop in and kind of steal some of that rapport that exists because they do have such unprofessional relationships.
So I do have a feeling it's going to happen soon, because you know, I just, with everything he's getting a lot of heat lately too. Between round one of the Reality Reckoning, even back to like the Nene stuff, when Nene was talking about suing him, I don't know if a lawsuit actually happened with that or not, but the Reality Reckoning, the stuff with Brandy, the stuff with Caroline, and now we're here with Leah. There is a privilege that he does have, like as a, he was a white gay guy in a world where like run by a lot of white straight guys, and he got to be the token gay of NBC, right? And it's like, he's from that era where it's like, well, the gays can like, we can like touch women's asses because like we're gay. I can
make out with Tamra on Watch What Happens Live.
I can make out with Tamra on air. I can
touch her boobs. I'm pretty sure he has one of her boobs.
Yeah, because he's like, but I'm gay. And it's like, okay, well, we're in a time where we should be recognizing that that's not really an excuse to cross boundaries with people. Like, you are a high up at a large scale corporation. Like, you shouldn't be behaving in those ways. Like, when the cameras are down and you're at, I don't know, like some at the Regency, you can have martinis and go do cocaine in the bathroom. Like, I don't think he should apologize for that behavior, but I do think there is something to be said about his questioning of his questions sometimes can cross boundaries on the show. He pushes boundaries in a way that is just kind of like, it just feels like an old white gay privilege that I think is going to be ending soon. I don't know. I'm getting the vibes that he might want to just take a step back, honestly, after all this.
Really?
Kind of, because I'm like, what is the point of continuing this for another 10 years for him, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know. I think he just has so much fun with it. You know what I mean? Like, I think he genuinely enjoys doing it. And I love like all the Daddy Diaries stuff that he puts out, and the Andy Cohen Diaries. I love those books. Like, I loved reading through his life, but it seems like he just has so much fun. And then it's also like Andy, like, is like this really high powered person at NBC Universal, but like his reality stars like make out with each other and do all these like unprofessional things too on their shows. And it's like that kind of like does bleed over into like his shtick, but like that's part of like what we love about it. You know what I mean?
I know. I agree. I don't see Leah's side, but I see the side she's trying to take, I guess, if that makes any sense. Like, I do see the side of like arguing that he needs to be reeled back. I do see that. But then I also see what you're saying. Like, it's an environment that's been created to be a certain way. Like, what's right and what's wrong. I mean, Bravo is huge. It is huge. It continues to get bigger in a way that confuses me sometimes, especially with the quality of the content. I'm like, the shows aren't really getting much better, but the universe continues to get huge. I mean, BravoCon in Vegas, that's crazy that was a
thing. Were you there this year?
I was not there, no.
Oh, okay, next year you're going.
Next year I need to go. I've not been before. Honestly, the price point is just like troublesome to me. It's just like a lot.
I understand.
But
it literally, like, I'm like, I can't believe like I could be going to Tahiti right now.
Well, I know, that's what I'm thinking
like,
about. I'm like,
spend this money. Like, I couldn't believe it. My hotel in Vegas was free this year. So that was like one
amazing
thing knocked off.
Yeah.
But it was definitely, and even just getting the tickets, like I actually did a Zoom with Fresca and Andy. Like, mm-hmm. they sent us all like the Fresca like mixed drinks that Andy
drinks. Yeah.
So I did a Zoom and I didn't get through the first round of BravoCon tickets. And I just like, cause you can message a question to Andy, and I was like, which internal organ do I have to harvest and sell in order to get BravoCon tickets? And then next thing you know, after the call, Bravo had sent me like a special code so I could actually just get in and spend all that money.
Wow.
Because I wasn't even able to buy them.
Not them being like, here's a code, go spend $1,000. Like,
enjoy spending $1,000. Go get it, girl.
That's so sweet of them. They gave you a code. Look at that.
They gave me a code. I think it was like, it also had my handle in it too. It felt very like custom, you know, luxury shopping experience. I was like, all right, somebody bring me some champagne while I make this huge purchase, you know?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's that too. I'm like, I'm really due for like some things in my apartment, like a new wardrobe, or I could go like sit in the corner of a conference hall and see Vicky Gumbelson yell at someone.
And I like love the, like I love Bravo so much that I spend irresponsibly around it. I'm like, you know totally. What? F it. We're doing it. But it was, what I will say is it's something you have to experience once. I think next year will be a good year.
Mm-hmm. Wait, do you have any intel on where it's going to be next year?
I heard in Vegas from somebody that was working at the hotel that they had a contract with Vegas for like the next 2 years or something.
That makes sense. I feel like it makes more sense in Vegas than in New York, which makes me sad.
It's great in Vegas because with New York, the thing is, it's so spread out in New York. You don't have that like magic of bumping into people. Vegas, all the hotels are like one big cruise ship that you walk through. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like from hotel to hotel. So it's just like, you know, we're out on the last night and like, you know, you got Taylor shaking her ass in the corner and, you know, like bickering with her husband. And I'm like, this is like live. This is like live action. This is live action.
Wait, Taylor Armstrong?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What I would have given.
It was a vibe. And then like one of the nights I went out and like I kept on calling Alexis Bellino Jesus Jugs. And it was like Lori and Joe and Jesus Jugs and Gretchen. God. And I like got a picture with all them and I was wearing the Ariana Maddox Revenge dress and my like the entire bottom half of my tit was out. So I had to post it because I was like, oh, this is what I get for calling her Jesus Jugs the whole time.
Yeah, my Jesus Jugs are out.
And the post went pretty, like, I got, like, a lot of likes on it. But then, so Jesus Jugs saw it, and then, but she didn't like it. And then she made a post being like, I don't care if people call me Jesus Jugs. Like, and she made this whole post about Jesus Jugs, and I was like, my God. But I'm excited to see what's going on with her and Mr. John Jansen.
John Jansen. I can't wait to see all that. I mean, I've been wanting her to be back on the show for a minute. I think she's another one to me of like the old age where, not old age, oh my God. I mean like the old, I don't mean like
the
she's
eldest.
Old. I mean like the elder years of Bravo where she's a woman who had, like I want more of these women who didn't have any aspirations to be on television, were just living their life, and then like a camera crew found them. They're just more interesting to me. And she was one of those people. Like the way her and Jim just like coexisted together was so confusing. She is so dumb.
She was
but delightfully was so nice, dumb and like
so entertaining.
Yeah, I want women like that again on these shows, right? Like not like influencers.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I know some people that like got reached out to for like the Roni casting and like they were like straight up like lovely people, but like definitely like on that influencer track, like, you know, the one person I knew that was a lot like more hesitant and more sensitive about like potentially being crucified, like would have been more interesting because like, I think like she would have been, I think she would have made good TV. I just think she would have made good TV because she's just a little chaotic and fun. The other person I'm thinking of like would have been producing the entire thing.
Yeah.
Would have been trying to throw her brand into it. Would have been like, and that just like robs the magic of the show for me. I want to see the chaos. I want to see people who are like lacking self-awareness. I want to see, you know, people that are in like messy relationships where we can see the trouble from like 10 miles away and they're like still kind of like thinking it's gonna work, like, you know.
Totally.
I mean, like Shannon Bedore and like what's his face, David, like that was always crazy to watch.
That woman did not belong on TV, but we got her. And I mean, she does belong on TV because she's so easy to watch, but like, no, she would have never thought that she would have been a reality star, you know. But we get to watch her, and we get to watch her life fall apart. Oh, I mean, it's awful, but it's so interesting, you know?
When they went to that marriage thing, here lies Shannon.
Oh my God. Never forget. R.I.P. Shannon. That was crazy. Shannon. That was she said, yes, please film this.
She agreed to that. She was like, you guys are going to come to this thing that we're doing.
That is more embarrassing than anything Leah McSweeney went through.
Yeah, Leah, talk to Shannon.
Yeah, seriously. So on like currently, like what are you keeping up with? What are you watching?
So.
And also, are you watching Love is Blind?
Oh my gosh. You know what? I just started watching it last night and I could have so many thoughts. I mean, I could not tell you any of their names, but there's the one guy that's like two-timing the two girls. And then you have the guy that in the beginning, he was walking out because he was bored with people's conversations.
Yeah, Matthew.
Super weird.
Yeah.
Matthew, weird. But I think people are crazy for going on that show.
Insane.
I think they're actually insane. And yeah, I was watching it last night and like, it's just like the line of questioning seems so serious. And it's like, you would like find out these things about people like over time if you were dating them, but like they just like have to get right into it. And also they're filming it over such long hours, probably drinking a lot of wine. Maybe they'll have their own reality reckoning.
Yep.
I would go crazy.
They probably will, honestly. The thing I love about Love is Blind is the second they're not on my screens anymore, I forget everything about them. Like, I just love that I'm invested for the span of like 4 weeks with these people. And then like, I could not tell you a name of anyone on any other season.
I couldn't even tell you right now. And I was literally watching it for like 3 hours last night. You know who I will remember though, is Chelsea, AKA Megan Fox.
I can't. Well, Chelsea, I have so much to say about Chelsea, and I don't want to ruin anything though for you because you have a lot.
It's okay. Your journey. Spoilers.
Well, your journey. She slowly begins to unravel like minute by minute on this show. And by the time you get to like episode 11, which is the most recent one that came out, she is just fully a puddle of just nonsense. I mean, she just fights for the sake of fighting. And you know, girls who like just, I have friends like this and I've been this. I think we've all been her in a moment where you just don't know how to be in a relationship, and so you just kind of like bring up shit to like instigate a fight for a reason that you don't even know why you're doing that. And you just, and like, I want to shake her and be like, everyone's done this, but you're doing it on television and I need you to stop.
You need to stop immediately, because I would hide my crazy so hard if I were you. Like,
right.
Even if I'm feeling crazy, nobody, I would never be like that on TV. Oh
so
my God.
And we have a Love is Blind recap episode coming out on Sunday for those listening. So on episode 7 through 11. So catch up before Sunday.
Oh, so I'm going to be that. Catching up so yes. I can catch up on that. Cause yeah. I think I was clicking through and I saw that you had covered it recently too. So I was like, I have to check that out. And like,
it's great. It's fun to talk about. And, but on the most recent episodes, I watched them this morning. Something happened. This isn't like a huge spoiler at all, but
yeah, it's okay. I love spoilers.
She is having a fight. They have an amazing day. An amazing day where she gets to meet his family.
Oh God.
But then she instigates a fight out of nowhere because he went out to go have a drink with a friend the night before. She was like in bed and he was like, I'm going to go buy so-and-so a drink. It's their birthday. I'll be back. He was gone for like less than an hour and a half. He literally was like, went, bought his friend a drink, came home. And so she's been sitting on that because she's so insecure, which makes me sad, but she's just like, her mind's going that he's like going to go hook up with someone or like going to do. And once again, I've been there, but like she brings it up on camera and she says some of the most crazy things. She says to him, she's like, one, she admittedly has had like 3 martinis. So she's like slurring and she's like, I don't want to date a partier. And I'm like, girl, I'm not shame. I don't want to shame you, but you are wasted.
You are. Martinis are like boobs. We're not supposed to have more than two. I don't listen to that rule myself.
Me neither. I've had 3 to 4 a lot of times. So,
but you know what? I'm not going to fight with a guy. That's for sure. I'm gonna be
fun
doing something else and having a great time. Yeah.
No, but so she says that, and he's like, I literally had one drink, and she's like, well, what, And then she's like, well, why didn't you invite me? And it's like, didn't you just say you didn't want to be out partying with him? And then he said, I only had one drink. And you're like, well, I want to go. And it's like, okay, well, that doesn't make any sense. And then the best part of it is she says to him, it's established once they come back from Mexico that he works from home. Like, he talks about it. He's like, I can't just like be hanging out all day while the camera crew are here, is what he's essentially saying. Like, I have to get back to work. And so he's like, she goes, well, where are you when you're working all day, huh? And he was like, I work from home.
Oh.
And she goes, she's like, sure, sure you do. I'm like, Chelsea, his, you can like see his desk. It's right there. Like, he's there.
He's literally like, at the desk.
You think he like opens the window and like crawls out and like goes and like hooks up with some girl at the gym? Like, what do you think is happening?
Do you think, like, because my sense when he first saw her was mm-hmm. that, like, he was a little taken aback that she wasn't Megan Fox. And, yeah. like, I felt bad because, you know what, like.
And I also see. So bad. I also see Megan Fox. Like, I see what she means.
I do.
Like, when people are, like, I really see it. Like, I want to defend her on that. The way she presented it, though, was kind of interesting.
I would have thought Megan Fox was walking out. I think if we took in, like, one of those, like, we could like merge two people together. If we took Rumor Willis and Megan Fox and we put them in one of those generators that can like match them up.
I agree.
Like, I think Chelsea, like, cause she looks like both of them.
But these these men are men. Okay. They're straight men. Yeah. And when you mm-hmm. say Megan Fox, what they're not thinking about, I promise you, is her face. I promise. The first thing he thought about was not her face.
And they're taking that so literally, right. like, because again, like, they're straight men. And so I would like, I wouldn't even say any singular person that I've ever been called a lookalike of, because I don't think any of them are like that close. Like, I'm like, oh, I can see that like, there's like some features that are like similar, but mm-hmm. like, unless I looked like their doppelganger, like, I'm not saying that. Cause men are also like visual too. So that was unfortunate. Did you get the sense? Like, cause I'm obviously like moseying along and like, who knows how far I'll get, but. Did you get the sense that his attraction like built for her at all, or like the rapport?
He loves her, which is the part that's sad, because like, she is sabotaging it and he has been nothing but so kind to her. I go into most situations with red flags up when I'm around any straight men.
I understand.
I'm like, I'm gonna first think you probably have weird vibes until you prove
me otherwise.
They
should just have to start in jail and like fight their way out, you
totally.
Know?
Totally. I mean, that's essentially what I'm making them do. So I went in wanting to be anti him, but as the show continues to progress, he really is so kind to her and to everyone and affords her so much grace for her crazy. And I'm like, girl, if he's loving you like this while you're fighting about whether or not he's working from home, you gotta stay with him. You can't be like threatening to leave him.
And work is stressful. Why are you adding to his stress? Like,
I don't
know.
Why
are you
creating
stress for him? He wants to go out and hang out with a friend. Why don't you just say, how was it, and be happy when he's home? Like, it's so bizarre to me, but it must be insecurity. It's just also like, I feel like sometimes these people that they have in the shows are like 23 or 25. And like, I would have done some shit like that when I was 23. You know what I mean?
She's 31.
Oh, Jesus. So she's our age and still doing that?
Yeah, that's the tough part.
Because it's a relief to know, and to know that I've grown out of that embarrassing behavior that I would have done like in college or something, you know?
No, same. Everything Chelsea's doing, we've all had our phase of that. It's just like, how are you 31 and doing this? Not only doing this, but doing it on television is beyond me.
Yeah, thank God those moments were not documented.
No one wants to see me in college doing the things I was doing with men. So
thank God. I mean, thank God we just had digital cameras. Like,
I know. And you could just press delete and they were gone forever.
Yeah, and you had to think about it the next day when you put them on Facebook.
I know.
Had to like sit, be sober and be like, do I want to put this on the internet? Now it's like so instant.
Yeah.
You know?
Wait, before I let you go, I do want to chat briefly about VPR, because I'm struggling with it and I feel like everyone's struggling with it. And I don't really know where we go from here. What are your thoughts on this season?
I got to be honest with you. I have just been kind of bored with it.
Yeah.
I think like my threshold for like Scandoval and all of it has just like kind of I just kind of like burnt out from it and
Yeah.
I'm not super interested. Like I've been watching it, but it's one of those things, you know, when it's like not appointment for me that I'm like not fully engaged because like there's certain shows like The Bachelor I'm really liking this season. I watch it right when it's airing
Oh, is it
versus like
good? I'm
I've been liking
out
it.
of Batch Nation as of like 2 or 3 years now,
I
but
go in and out, you know what I mean? Like, but The Golden Bachelor got me right back in. And then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna watch this season with Joey. And there were definitely like a lot of cat fights and like just like cattiness and like that kind of stuff that makes the show good because like it's like Joey, I need to talk to you about someone, you know? Like it's just like you
Yeah,
love
it's
that.
fun.
Like
Yeah, of course.
people are just so ridiculous. And these girls are literally like just out of high school, being like, I'm never gonna find love. I'm like, babe, I'm 32. Like you need to relax, you need to
Pull it
take a
back.
Xanax.
Yeah.
All right, we're it's gonna be okay. Like he's out there. But anyway, like yeah, it's been good, but I watch that now on Mondays because it's like been consistently good. Like sometimes there's certain scenes where I'm like, oh, this is so cringe. I can't even like I have to like shut my eyes. I'm having secondhand embarrassment from like what you're saying to each
That's
other.
fun to me, though. I love that stuff.
I get like really the worst secondhand embarrassment. But yeah, I with VPR, I'm struggling. Like I will watch it the next day when it's on Hulu.
Yeah, I know. I just think I had a feeling this would happen. They peaked so high last season. Even this, like the thing about last season that is that I think we forget about is take the Scandoval out of it. It was actually like a good season. Like a
Yeah.
like it was it elevated itself because you were watching for little things here and there. But the season itself, even without it, had a lot of dynamic like fighting and like interesting plot twists with like Sheena's wedding was stupid and crazy and like Katie and Schwartz's divorce and Lala talking about the stuff with Rand and like Raquel being just annoying and like there was stuff going on. So the season itself was good. And then the layer of watching for clues of the Scandoval of it all was exciting. But you know, this season we can't just watch them talk about something that we have already moved on from.
No, and you know, it was a magical time, like having packed bars for like all
Yeah.
of
I
reunions and people.
rewatched all of it while the
I
season
was like,
was
I get
airing.
why sports fans do this. Like that's why
Yes.
you have to come to BravoCon because that camaraderie of being around other Bravo fans, that many Bravo fans that all know exactly what you're talking about and
Yep.
all know exactly what you're referencing when you make a little joke, you have to go. Like I literally, you're going. But
Okay,
yeah, like,
I'm going.
but
Wait, my
this
only thing
season.
about BravoCon back to it is that so I'm running the New York City Marathon this year.
Oh
Thank you.
my
I'm
God,
really excited and scared. I just it, it's going it can either it's either going to be on that weekend or it's going to be the weekend after. If it's the weekend after, I could go, but I'm
yeah.
scared it's going to be on the New York City Marathon weekend.
Well, then you'd probably have one more year the year after in Vegas if the guy
Yes,
was telling me the truth. So you can go the year after, but
true.
My mom, like so many of my family members have run it, and it's such an amazing experience, and you're going to crush it. So that's very exciting.
Thank you. I'm really excited. Yeah, if you've ever been to New York City or lived here or and never experienced the marathon, find a way to experience it. Not as like a runner, just as like as a spectator. It's like the best day to be in the city. It's just cool to see the whole city of New York shut down for something so fun and
Because you go through like all the
inspiring.
boroughs, I think, right?
Yeah,
Like,
you start in Brooklyn and then you run through Queens into Manhattan to the Bronx and then back to Manhattan.
it's wild. No, I remember when my mom did it was like so electric, just like the crowd and everything, and like it is such a that's gonna be a feat. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to see the pics of that. That's gonna be
Yes, I'm
awesome.
excited. Training starts in a couple months and I'm nervous and but we're
No,
doing
you're gonna
it. We're
kill
doing it.
it.
It's my first
You're
one,
gonna
so
kill
yeah.
it. I'm excited for you. Once you
Thank you.
get up to a certain mileage, you're
I
gonna
know
be like, what
it's all
other?
just far as fuck. So you just go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You surprise yourself though. I got up to like 5 miles at one point, like, and then I twisted my ankle, and then I was already signed up for like the Malibu Half Marathon, which has all this uphill, and I just ran it.
Yeah, your body can
I
do
was
more than
dying, but I just did it. I was like, you know what? We're just gonna do 12.1. It's cool.
13.1.
Or 13.1. There you go.
No,
See,
I just
I'm like, I'm not even giving myself enough
I
credit.
know, give
I
yourself
did like want to
more.
cry at certain times, though. I'm not kidding
Totally.
you. I was like sobbing a little bit. Like, I was like, when is this gonna end? But.
I know I feel that. I'll be like that. But VPR once again, I'm hesitant to see where we go from here. And I'm really not liking the graham cracker storyline of it all. Is very confusing and so laid
Lisa
on
always
thick
has
by
to bring a
Lisa.
Dog into it.
Why does she always gotta bring a dog into
the
it? Why does she always gotta bring a dog
disease,
into
yeah,
it? I know.
We got dogs with alopecia. Now we got this. And I'm like, you know what? I agree with you. I don't care about Graham Hippie. I hope
like,
he's well.
I hope he's, yeah, I agree. I hope he's well. But I'm like, I just don't think this story has as much ground to it as she wants it to, you know?
And as a cat owner, she's never brought a cat into it. And I just feel she could bring other animals into
it
as
well.
Why does
she not have, she doesn't have any cats.
No, but like, why don't they go swim with like orcas or something? I don't know. Just bring another animal into it. I'm
Agreed.
Sick of the dog.
Agreed.
Give me something else.
And also that dog is poorly behaved and there's deeper issues with the dog.
100%, because I think it's one of those dogs where when it was little, they let it bite because it was cute. And
yes.
Then it got big and then it stops being cute and you didn't train your dog. And now your dog has bad behavior.
I can't. I am a dog dad and I have like a very large lab mix. He's so cute.
I love. I'm like,
but,
where is he?
Yeah, I'd show him to you, but he's like over there.
He's not here. He's hiding.
And he's the most like docile animal. Like he's so sweet and kind. But like it takes a while it takes work to get them mm-hmm. there. They don't just like become that. So I get frustrated when people just get like these like breeder dogs that because like they want the cute aesthetic of like a cab like a poodle mix, you know? And then they just are like, well, it's cute. And it's like, no, you have to like train it.
My friend just got a little dog and she's like been having the trainer over like I think like a couple times a week. Like the dog has been, and then she's practicing with the dog constantly. And it's like, you know, that's why like I don't want a dog right now because I'm like, you actually
it's a
have
lot.
To really, like having a child,
no,
you
a
have
baby.
To actually train it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a lot.
The cats, I mean, one of them was being a demon the other night. I wish I could train that out of him, but unfortunately.
Cats, you can't train
so
much.
He was howling at the moon. That wasn't my friend.
Wait,
that was the devil.
Are you serious? He was literally howling at the moon?
Like, I don't
making
know what
cat noises
he was doing,
at the
but he was making all sorts of noises last night. And I was like, I really don't need this right now. And just losing his mind. Every once in a while, they get like a wild hair in them and they'll just be running around the house for no reason. I'm like, is it a full moon? I don't know.
My sister's cat is like that. He like has a tic where he just hisses, but he's not like, he's not mad. Like you'll be petting him and he'll just like hiss out of nowhere. but then you keep petting him and he's purring. It's just hilarious because he just like, it's like he wants to hate you, but he loves you. It's very, it's bizarre.
He's like, it's like a little Tourette's he has.
Yeah, he's like, and then you're like, okay, and then he's purring.
No, don't stop.
Well, Jen, this was a blast. Thank you for coming on. We dived into so much.
Oh my God, thank you for having me.
Of course, I really needed, this timed out perfectly because I needed to talk to someone about the Leah McSweeney of it all. So you were a perfect person to do that with. Tell everyone about the Zen Blonde and what you cover there and, you know, I don't know where to follow you and all the good stuff.
Oh my gosh. Well, okay. So I'm over at the Zen Blonde on TikTok and IG and, you know, I talk about all things Bravo and just, especially on TikTok, I get into some pretty wild deep dives. So mm-hmm. I have a few planned for March, so stay tuned. I've been doing my research, but yeah, follow me over there. And thank you so much for having me,
of
Tom.
Course.
I needed this. This was therapeutic for me. I should be paying you for this.
Oh, you can. I'm kidding. Of course. You're welcome back anytime, Lauren. Say bye to the listeners. Bye.
Bye, guys.
That's another ep in the books. Make sure to follow me at Tom Hamlet on Instagram. And you can follow Kix
at Kix Hamlet, that's spelled C-I-X. And make sure to follow the pod on IG at Dumpster Dive Pod and on TikTok at Two Dumpster Divas.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us and all the pods you love on your favorite app of choice. And we will see y'all soon.
Bye. Bye.